Hi, I'm Koshin Chris Kane, abbot of the Puget Sound Zen Center on Vashon Island, Washington. We're glad to be able to bring you these podcasts. If you'd like to learn more about our Zen Center, please visit our website at pscc.org. Well, today I want to talk about one of my favorite topics, Master Rinzai. Today is we celebrate his death day, so that's why he's up on behind me here. And I want to talk about his humanism today. Rinzai was born around 810, so a long, long time ago, and in what we call the kind of the late golden age of Zen in China. When he was about 20, he entered the temple and studied for a few years, as is customary, studied all the sutras, studied the Vinaya. He was a Vinaya monk, so he knew all the rules and the ethics, a lot of scripture. But then when he was 26, he entered the monastery. I'm not going to go into his whole story, monastic story, but he stayed there for a few years, and without going to see the going up to see the teacher. I think he'd been there for 3 years, and then he's like, "Yeah, this isn't really working for me. I'm going to go somewhere else." And his buddy says, "I gotta go see the teacher. Gotta go see the teacher before you go." And I said, "Well, I don't have anything to say to the teacher." He says, "Just ask him a question. Ask him, you know, why did Bodhidharma come from the West?" That's what everybody asks. So he went up there and said, "Why did Bodhidharma come from the West?" And the teacher just hit him. And then he left and he said, "Okay, well, that didn't work." So he was about to leave. His buddy said, "What happened?" He said, "Oh, the master hit me a few times." He said, "What, really? Wow. What a helpful guy. You got to go up there again now and ask the same thing." So ask again, and he gets hit a few times. Goes back. This time from 3 times. And then finally he decides to leave, go down the road to another master, who then tells him, he tells the story to that master, and he says, "Wow, what compassion. What help. That guy really cared about you to try to wake you up like that." And then Rinzai has a realization in that moment. We know him through the Rinzai, the record of Rinzai. This is my old copy. It's out of print now. But this is probably my favorite tract, Zen tract. And it was, when it came out, a new kind of literature, one of the very first to have really just the master talking, giving lectures, talking to his students. Before that, there were koan cases, there were master-student interactions, a lot of paradox. There's some paradox in here, but it's straightforward speaking to his students. There were morning talks and evening talks. The morning talks were more formal. The evening talks were less formal. Heinrich Dumoulin, who wrote the kind of a classic history of Zen in India and China, and another one for Japan, he calls it this book a kind of reaction to the colder, cooler forms of the classical period. And the language is direct, it's kind of rough, it's colloquial. Sometimes he's tender, sometimes he's scolding. I recommend it highly. And there's at least one scholar that's talked about Lin Qi's humanism. Lin Qi was most, first of all, interested in helping his students, common students. and talking to them about what it is to be a follower of the way, about what it is to be a human being. He wasn't interested in like the foundation, in sort of theories about the foundation of being human. He was just interested in how to become fully human. A very down to earth in that way. Of all the characters that are written, Chinese characters in the Rinzai Roku, apparently, the human graph, the graph for human being, appears more times than any other except for no. And I find his insistence on, in particular, thinking and acting for yourself to be really fresh and exciting and modern. I think really it makes sense to me to call him a humanist, because I think it's a kind of humanist message at its core. I'll read you what I think it's Wikipedia says. I didn't put the quote, put the reference here. But here it is. A generic definition of humanism. A philosophical and ethical stance that emphasizes the value and agency of human beings. The value and agency. Individually and collectively, and affirms their ability to improve their lives through the use of reason and ingenuity, as opposed to submitting blindly to tradition and authority. I won't go into, I'm very into the humanist movement right now. So even though I said I broke my promises last time about Rinzai's story, I won't about humanism, but I'll just say that I'm very interested in that movement and how it goes, you know, from the Greeks to the Renaissance to the Enlightenment. Rinzai encourages his students to rely on themselves, to have faith in themselves over and over again, and not to rely on the authority of the Buddha and of the ancestors, the masters of old. He doesn't call down masters of old very often in this text. And he calls Zen students that just follow along, you know, follow their nose. There's something about some reference to them being goats, but also to being blind idiots, or like a donkey cringing and faltering on an icy path, you know, just afraid to move. In his most well-known passage, he says, "Kill the Buddha." That's where that comes from, his Rinzai. Kill the Buddha. Kill your ancestors. Kill your parents. Kill your authorities. Put away all of your dogma, all of your, even further, all of your thoughts, all of your oughts. Put them all down and see for yourself. Get to know yourself and get to know your own truest nature. And he believed, Rinzai, I'm going to use another word from this Wikipedia definition. He believed in the individual understanding his or her own agency. And learning through action, like the Jigijitsu and the Densu did. Learning to become an actor in the world and not passive. Sometimes a Zen school, you know, what we do seems kind of passive. I mean, we sit around for long stretches of time. But as I like to say, we do that so that we may act, so that we can move through our lives with more true confidence. I'm going to read you a little. Probably my favorite section here, a little part of it anyway. This is chapter 10. Followers of the way, the eminent predecessors we have had from of old, all have had their ways of saving men. As for me, what I want to point out to you is that you must not accept the deluding views of others. If you want to act, then act. Don't hesitate. Students today can't get anywhere. What ails you? Lack of faith in yourself is what ails you. If you lack faith in yourself, you'll keep on tumbling along, bewilderedly following after all kinds of circumstances, be taken by these myriad circumstances through transformation after transformation, and never be yourself. Bring to rest the thoughts of the ceaselessly seeking mind, and you'll not differ from the ancestors, from the Buddha. Do you want to know the ancestors, the Buddha? They are nothing other than you who stand before me listening to my discourse. Since you students lack faith in yourself, you run around seeking something outside. Strong language and so clear. Such a clear message. First of all, you have to learn to have faith in yourself, in your own experience, in your own two eyes. You have to learn to trust that and make that the mark of whether you're doing this practice properly, not what somebody else says. So, Rinzai lived at the very close to the base of a mountain. The mountain is Wutaishan, a very famous mountain in China. It's the mountain where Manjushri supposedly resides. And the Bodhisattva Manjushri, the Bodhisattva of wisdom, we chant for old Manjushri. And Rinzai lived there and saw pilgrims coming and going all the time. Sometimes prophets, some of them stopped and listened to him. So part of the Rinzai Roku, here we go. There is no Manjushri on Wutaishan. There is no Manjushri there. Do you want to know Manjushri? Your activity right now, nowhere faltering. This is the living Manjushri. So, you have to trust that you have it. Don't go relying on others. In so many ways, he says that. And by you, by the way, Rinzai means everybody. He is democratic that way, another humanistic value. He doesn't privilege so much the super accomplished. His ideal is the person of no rank. That's a famous phrase of his. He doesn't make an object of enlightenment or fetishize it. He hardly mentions it. One scholar theorizes that it was because it was the idea of it was over emphasized in those days, or that Rinzai thought it was in the generations before him. So he describes how a follower of the way should practice and act. And he believes in action and in learning by action, in a human being finding their agency. If you want to act, act. Don't hesitate. Now, maybe I should say, put in parentheses there. You know, they were living in a... He was talking mostly to monks in a monastic setting. He followed the rule of Pai Chang, of Kyakujo, you know, almost certainly the scholars say. So it was, you know, within a, don't go nuts, it's within a kind of ethical framework. And he studied the vinyana, to be sure. But he wants his students to learn to move, to act with confidence. To walk through hell, he says, as if strolling through a pleasure garden. Here's that whole quote. "Only you, the follower of the way, right now before my eyes, listening to my discourse, only you enter fire and are not burned. Enter water and are not drowned. Enter through the three hells as if strolling in a pleasure garden. Enter the realms of the hungry ghosts and the beasts without suffering their fate. How can this be? There are no dharmas to be disliked." He's encouraging the students to travel, to enter, to not be afraid. That's one of his favorite words, enter. You only have to at any time enter the secular, enter the sacred, enter the defiled, enter the pure, enter the land of the Buddhas, the Tower of Maitreya, the Dharma Dhatu of Vairochana, and enter all the lands everywhere which you manifest that come into being, exist, decay, and disappear. You can feel that movement in Rinzai. And by movement, we learn to be agents of our own life, I think. By learning to move. Not simply devotees or subjects or victims. The last phrase from Rinzai I just want to leave you with is, or mention, is, he says, you should become the master of your situation. You should become masters of your situation. Or sometimes sovereigns, you know, of your situation. And Thich Nhat Hanh has a commentary on Rinzai. I can't remember, Elizabeth telling me. She picked up this book by Thich Nhat Hanh. You know, nice book by Thich Nhat Hanh. And opened it up and I was like, whoa, this is Thich Nhat Hanh? Rinzai's kind of opposite almost of Thich Nhat Hanh. You know, he's got this very kind of strong energy. But Thich Nhat Hanh is from the Rinzai school. You know, that's his lineage. And he digs Rinzai a lot. It's so fun to read him on Rinzai. You know, him explaining, kill your parents, kill your... it's really... For me, it's like you know how salt and sugar taste good together? That's what it's like to me. So I'm just going to read you two little selections, two little parts where Thich Nhat Hanh says something about this master of your situation. Wherever we go, we can be master of our situation, Thich Nhat Hanh says. Suppose an older sister or brother is bothering us. We may be tempted to think it's their fault that we suffer. But we can instead take the initiative and decide that we can help our siblings, our sibling, and ourselves. Master Lin Shi says, you should be sovereign according to where you find yourself. Be the true person wherever you are, not allowing the conditions to pull you away. Wherever you are, wherever we are, our true self is present. I like that example because I think we do have a tendency, sometimes I do, to figure it's all their fault. My predicament is all my siblings' fault. Or whatever, it's their fault. And if that didn't, if that wasn't there, I'd be okay. Rather than finding my own sovereign self and becoming, having the responsibility to become master of this situation and then to move, you know, as he suggests. Help the guy, the sibling. Here's another one. Master Lin Shi exhorts us to be masters of our own situation, he says in a totally different part. But that doesn't mean we need to fight and suppress others, but rather to be masters of ourselves. Suppose we have a friend who is quick to anger. We can think that we can think there is something wrong with him and try and suppress his anger. We can think that because he is raising his voice, we have to raise ours. Or we can be the master of ourselves in that situation, feeling real compassion for the other person's difficulty. I like that example too. In order to feel that kind of compassion for somebody else, I think, we have to feel settled in ourselves. Otherwise, we're reacting all of the time to everybody, to everything, to every slight. Did I miss that part? I was supposed to end on... I did. Sometimes it's not a person in the moment, but a person in the past who we think is the master of our situation. We say that behaving a certain way because of something our parents or someone else did to us as a child. Oh, we say that we are behaving a certain way because of that. But each person has their own karma, and each person is the master of their own situation in the moment, not a slave to others, past or present. Master Rinzai does not want us to become slaves, you see. Slaves to circumstance, slaves to... it does not want us to become a victim or have a kind of victim mentality. Sometimes I think we all feel victimized by our circumstances, whether because of our parents, our ex-spouse, our boss, our situation. And there may be some truth to that, of course, but reifying that situation, concretizing that feeling of victimhood, I think can lead to a kind of paralysis. It's in a way a comfortable position in which we give away our responsibility. And in Zen practice, this practice that we have of taking things all the way down to zero, of letting everything go, of killing our parents, killing our authorities, into a place where we don't lack for anything and don't need anything. That's our primary Zazen practice. And I think that's a place of healing and of clarity and a place from which we can act more freely and become more sovereign in our situations. So Rinzai implores us through practice, through faith in ourselves, to find our own action, our own agency, as a humanist would. And he stresses that action is a part of our practice. This is the Rinzai Zen way. We learn by doing, by jumping in. So please don't be donkeys tiptoeing on an icy path. Sit still, see for yourself, and then rather than being a victim of circumstances, do your best to become a master, a sovereign of your own situation.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Puget Sound Zen Center. Thanks so much for listening. To learn more about our community, you can visit our website at pszc.org.